sanctifies and rests on this side as well. Amen? Amen. All right, have your Bibles tonight. I know this is a crew that does. Amen. Let's run over to Hebrews chapter number 11, and we'll see what God has for us tonight. And then we've got some chili in the back. Amen. And some other good stuff back there, too, as well. And we went downtown Chicago, by the way. And I took Christian and Amber down there. She'd been in Chicago. And we stopped down there. And they went to one of the sports places. And they had some hot sauce, some Al Capone hot sauce. Amen. And so I got some of that. So if y'all want to taste some of that tonight, you can. It's nothing that's super hot. I mean, you know, it's your normal stuff. But anyway, but it's still good. Amen. So you make sure you get some of that tonight if you'd like to have some. All right. Let's go. Hebrews chapter 11. Get there. Let's all stand. We will read one verse, amen, and then we will pray, amen. That was a tongue twister. All right, look what it says in Hebrews 11 and verse number 7. The Bible says this, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. I want to talk tonight in this little thought, unheard of faith. Father, I want to ask your help tonight as we begin to look at Noah. Noah, Lord, I believe he really gives us a good example of what it means to have faith and that which is not seen. And I pray that's God, but you'd show us how we also can trust your word and trust what you say, even though it has not happened as of yet. And we're not talking about a blind faith. No, sir. We are talking, God, about faith based upon what you said. Faith based upon your word. And the word of God teaches us that you cannot lie. And so therefore, God, whatever you say is true. We can count on it. We can mark it down. Matter of fact, we can relax in the midst of it. And that, God, we thank you. I pray, God, you guide my speech tonight. I guide my actions and my thoughts and my all that I do. I pray, God, that you would help me to deliver the message in the way that you'd have me to deliver it, that the folks may receive it and then, yes, sir, apply it and then grab victory as a result from it. For that, God, we'll thank you. Help us. Forgive me, God, for any sins of my life. There will be a hindrance for you using my vessel tonight. I pray, God, you'd wash me thoroughly. And for that, God, I praise you. God, help us now. For in your son's name we pray. And if I left anything else out, take care of that too. Oh, by the way, my mind is quickly been reminded by your Holy Spirit. I pray, God, for those in the hospital tonight. I pray, God, for those who are sick at home tonight. I pray, God, for those who may request tonight of loved ones who are, Lord, whose lives that we see anyway are hanging in the balance. But at the same time, Father, we know that you're a God that brings life. You are a God that brings healing. And we ask God right now that you'll bring healing in each of these situations that present to us tonight. And with that, God, we'll thank you. We trust you. Make a way out of no way. For in your son's name we now pray, Jesus. Amen. Amen. May be seated. Hallelujah. The Bible says, the Bible teaches us that here's a man named Noah who had a faith that I want to describe as an unheard of faith. An unheard of faith. When we look at that word unheard of, it means unknown. It means never heard of. It means shocking. It means unbelievable. It means, my dear friends, exceptional. So why do you say that, preacher? Because God told him about something that was going to happen that no one had ever seen take place before in their life. And then he was asked to do something that nobody had ever done before. And I'm going to tell you what, my dear friends, when God asks us to do something that nobody has ever done before, that in itself will be shocking, but also at the same time, it will cause a lot of folks to perhaps even doubt that what we are saying is actually something that will definitely take pass. Amen. And we'll see this in a few moments as we look in Hebrews chapter number 11. Give me just, I can't see nobody back there. Give me just a little bit more volume because my throat is a little bit, is sick. Amen. But anyhow, first of all, we see back in verse number 1, what is faith again? I got to remind us. Now faith, verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Remember, the word substance means confidence, it means guarantee, it means assurance. In other words, faith is the assurance of things hoped for or things expected. In other words, even though I don't see it, I'm expecting it to take place because of what God's word has said about it. It goes on to say here, the evidence or the certain persuasion of things not seen. I've not seen it yet, but I am persuaded, I am convinced that it will definitely come to pass. The Hebrew boys had not seen deliverance take place yet, but they knew that God would deliver. Heather mentioned a few moments ago when they was dealing with the liver situation. She believed that God was going to take care of it. She didn't know how, but she believed that he was going to take care of it. And God did. I mean, the last time they talked to her before the other day, the results were 60. The count was what, 60 what? It was 60 something to 100 something. 61 and 98, and it's supposed to have been what? 0 and 40. They said, man, she's got damage. She's got liver damage. Well, they took some more tests, and then come back. She tells us tonight that this lady can't believe it, can't understand it. But she said, man, it's perfect. It's perfect. And nine accounts what? 12 and 15. Somebody said, what in the world happened? They probably got it mixed up. They probably got it wrong. I'm going to tell you what, my dear friends. You know how these folks, I ain't got nothing against doctors. Love them. But a lot of them have ego problems. Amen. So trust me. When they say one thing, they say this, I mean, they're like, hey, they're going to say this is this. If they say this is what's happening, this is what's happening as far as what they have seen and as far as they are concerned. But at the same time, there's another physician that works behind the scenes. There's another physician that goes into areas that the doctors can't go into, my dear friends. And he knows how to reconstruct. He knows how to heal, my dear friends, in ways that blows man's mind. At the same time, she has a son sitting back in the back running the camera for us, and he's 14 years old. They gave him 3 hours to live. But that was 14 years ago. Listen, my dear friends, we have a God that knows how to work the impossible. We have a God, my dear friends, that can do things that no man has ever seen before in his entire life. Hallelujah. And I need to write some of this stuff down. Answered prayer list that's out there. You mark up things on writing that stuff. Answered prayer, write that stuff down there. I'll get to mention from time to time. But we have many folks who have been touched. Many folks that God has healed in so many different ways. You know, and then there's sometimes, my dear friends, where God's infinite wisdom is not to heal that person. And sometimes that person goes home to be with the Lord. But at the same time, we are trusting that God knows how to make the right decision in each and every situation that we face in life. We have to believe that God knows what he's doing. Faith. So now we see here, as we come down to Noah, the Bible says in verse number 7, by faith, Noah. What happened? By faith, because Noah had faith in God, God spoke to Noah. The Bible says, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Wait a minute. Here's a man named Noah. The Bible says, God comes to him and he warns him of some things that are about to take place, but things that have not yet been seen. When you go back over to Genesis, my dear friends, and God says, there is going to be a flood. The whole earth, you must remember, it had never worked before. It had never rained before on the face of the earth. The way the earth was watered, if you read back in Genesis, was that there would be a mist that would come up, and that's how it would water the earth. So can you imagine when somebody says, that the world is going to be a flood. Well, how is a little mist going to cause a flood? Because then I think about water coming from the sky. Rain falling from the sky, my dear friend. That is Noah. They've never seen that before. And God is telling Noah about something that the world has never seen take place. And then Noah does something that's remarkable. He believes God. He believes. So I said, well, if God came and spoke to me out of heaven, then I'd believe too. Listen, just read the Old Testament. Them folks had God come out, and God was speaking, God was saying, and they know God said it, and they still wouldn't follow God. And we have the written word of God is what we have right now, my dear friends. And even though we have the written word, we still don't follow what he said. He got it wrote down for us. And you know how we are about things written down. You know, if I ask somebody right now, let's see here. What's going on with, let's see here. Give me some kind of news event that's taking place here lately. Huh? Anything? Something? Okay. Maggie Daly passed. How do y'all know? Facebook. Come on, that's good. Facebook. The news. You know, Twitter. We heard. Did anybody question whether she died? No. Why? Because we heard it. Somebody told us, or we read the Times newspaper, and they said she died. They said she died. I didn't see her die. I didn't go to the funeral service. But I believe she died. Because that's what they said. That's what was recorded. That's what was written down. Well, why is it so hard for us to believe what's written down? It's written down right here, my friend. And it wasn't written last week. And when you have a book that prophesizes things are going to happen, and it does, why would you doubt it? He said it was coming and it came. The Bible has, listen, all the prophecies about Jesus Christ coming are in the Old Testament. Go ahead, research them. Before Christ came, they said what was going to happen. And guess what? Everything happened just like the Bible said in the Old Testament. Before the New Testament was written, before Christ got here, and all those prophecies were fulfilled, every single one, just like the Old Testament said it would take place. Why do we have a hard time believing it? Because, my dear friends, we live in a society where most of the time we got to see it. What was the old saying? Used to be seeing is believing. Well, listen, how was that guy's name? Chris Angel? Is that it? Chris Angel. Making whole buildings disappear. And he'll do stuff and show you. Plane ride right through. Wow. But it's an illusion. I hope Bill didn't disappear. If it did, I wouldn't be hanging around Chris Angel. There's something wrong. But it's an illusion. And my friends, they've already proved to us that the hand is quicker than the eye. If you ever was in Chicago and you got them on buses, I don't know if they still do them now or not, but they have those games, three-car Molly. They had them cars, they'd be switching around there. You know, you can say, I can do that. I can see exactly where they're going. You sit there watching them. And they'll be hardly going that fast. They'd be like this. They'd be like, they'd be just moving stuff around like that. Which one is it? And of course, as long as you ain't got no money down there, you win. Yeah. How do you know? Been there, done that. As soon as you put some money down there, then all of a sudden you lost. Whoa, what happened? Wait a minute. The car was big. I'm watching a big car. That's a different big card. The hand is quicker than the eye. You cannot always believe what you see. You cannot always believe what you see. But one thing about it, my dear friends, we can believe what God has said. Now watch this. He warns him. The Bible says he being warned of God. That word being warned of God means to speak, to reveal, or be called. So God revealed to him that this is going to take place. You read that over in Genesis chapter 7, chapter 8, and chapter 9. Read those different chapters over there. But then we see something happen. God spoke to him. He believed God. How do you know that? Because it was seen in his actions. The Bible says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, did something. Moved with fear. In other words, his belief was put into action. Because he believed what God said, my dear friends, and then God told him exactly how to build the ark, he began to build the ark exactly how God said he was supposed to build it. And can you imagine building an ark for over 100 years? And the flood ain't came yet. People are like, you lost your mind. What flood? And you built that ark The Bible tells us, we looked at a few moments ago, he was a preacher of righteousness. In other words, he did preach to them about what was going to take place. But nobody believed him. But even though they believed him, because, my friends, he feared God, he reverenced God, and he had faith in God, he moved. And the Bible says this, he began to prepare an ark. The word prepare means to build, to make an ark. He began to do it. Now watch this. The Bible says he did this to the saving of his house. That word house there means family. It means home. The word save means health, rescue, or deliver. Because he built that ark, it saved. It rescued his entire family. But what if he hadn't believed? If he had not believed, my dear friends, he wouldn't have built that ark. If he had not built that ark, then his whole family would have been drowned. Whole family, whoosh, wiped out. All of them gone. Because he had not believed. What are you talking about, preacher? What you and I believe will have an impact on our children. If we believe, my dear friends, it's very important to be in the house of God for worship. That will impact our children. If we believe, my dear friends, it's very important to read the Word of God on a regular basis. That will impact our children. If we believe, my dear friends, the necessity of praying and crying out to a holy God, it will impact our children. Because they'll see it in our actions. They'll see it in what we're doing. Why did I come back to church? I was taught by my mama. That's where help was at. At the church. When I was away from God, I felt like if I could just get to the church, if I could just get what was holding back me, if I could just get there, something would happen. I mean, listen. I mean, my children, well, they're all here tonight. I won't call y'all names. I'm getting mixed up. But anyway, but you know what? I believe anyway. One thing they believe is this: that prayer works. If you pray, then God's going to do something about it. You know, I don't forget when Christian was younger and we were talking about death and stuff like this. You know, and she'd be like, well, they were saved, right? We're like, yeah. So they're going to heaven then. We're like, well, yeah. So okay. We're like, yeah, well, you know, you got to cry and stuff. You got to, you know. But in her mind, she was like, okay, they were saved. They died. So now they're going to heaven. So then we're going to see them again. So everything's okay. And that was the truth. And she really believed it. But why is it then? We know this as we get older. We know that same truth. But at the same time, my dear friends, it's almost like our whole world falls apart when my loved ones goes home in heaven. We've got in heaven. I've got many loved ones on the other side. Now, I know it's because we're going to miss them down here. But for some of us, it goes beyond just missing them down here. It's almost as if we are never going to see them again. But if you have a loved one that knows God, that knows Jesus Christ, and the Lord and Savior, the Bible is very clear. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That means we will see them again. I've got some grandmothers on the other side. I've got some of my cousins on the other side. I've got some friends, close friends, on the other side. But guess what? We got folks that was here in our church, members here of our church. We're going to see them again. We're going to see, Sister Jeanette. We're going to see Sister Irma. We're going to see Michelle Montello. We're going to see Brother Devin. We're going to see Brother Henry Cardenas. We're going to see, well, all these folks knew God. They knew Jesus as their Savior. We're going to see them again. I like what one preacher used to preach, Reverend Sneed. You remember Reverend Sneed, Pam? He preached, and we all liked him because when he preached 15 minutes. We was growing up. I mean, he preached 15. I'm going to tell you what, 15 minutes, man, he had you. I'm telling you what, he was preaching. He was, as they say, shucking the corn. Amen. I mean, he'd go at it. But one thing he'd always say, we're going to a place where it's always howdy, howdy, and never goodbye. I remember preaching that all day. He'd always say that. He's going to heaven too, ain't he? Yeah, we're going to see him again. Amen. What are you saying, preacher? What we believe does impact our children. If we believe that it's a good thing to go to church, but not necessarily a necessary thing. Do you know what happens? Because we are like this in church, we're in and out, and in and out. You know what I've seen over the years? A lot of times the children are the same way. They're in, they're out, they're in, they're out. But then for those who they've seen their mom and their dad as faithful to service, once they did get back in, they were in. I ain't saying they had no more troubles, but they was in. It's because, my dear friends, we are showing them, we are teaching them by our actions. Actions speak louder than words do. What we do impacts them. And I'm going to tell you, my dear friends, here was Noah, and Noah, because he believed God, he built that ark up, and guess what? His whole household was saved. I believe this, folks. If you and I start implementing the things from God's word, it is going to impact our children. I'm thinking about Danielle's, her children, okay? She had some needs a few weeks ago. And you know what? She'd been coming to church, and then she presented that need. Some folks over here knew how to take care of that need. That need was addressed. It was taken care of. And she's praising the Lord. Her boys saw that. They saw what took place. Those are seeds being planted. And as she continues to serve God and follow God, they continue to see that. You know what's going to happen? They might get to this, get to that, but they'll always know, you know what? I've got to get back to the church. I've got to get back to the church. I've got to get back to the church. And that's what they'll run to, my dear friends, when they know they need to get the help they need to have. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. This man's faith affected his family. Now watch this. It also, though, condemned the world. Look what the Bible says here. The Bible says here that that he was being warned of God, being not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world. Because what he believed was actually true, it also sentenced the world. Those people did not believe. How do you know that? Go with me real quick over to Matthew 24 and verse 37. Matthew 24, look at verse number 37. We're just about done. Look at Matthew 24 and verse 37. Look what the Bible says over here. The Bible says this. The Bible says, but as the days of Noah were, that's Matthew 24, verse 37, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. What's happened here? They were, come for a minute. Come for a minute. They was eating. Y'all chow down. Y'all put some food right here. Y'all eat away. They were eating. What else they were doing? And they weren't getting drunk. They was drinking, though. Amen. And they were also marrying. Amen. I'll be careful here. Let me just take y'all. Y'all already married. Come over here and say amen. I'm like, all right, preach, what you doing, my son, my daughter? Amen. They was marrying. Folks were standing at the altar getting married. And then some folks were being given in marriage. You know, some folks were getting ready to get married. Was anything wrong with any of that stuff? No. The part that was wrong is that they were not listening to what Noah was saying about the flood coming to pass. What do you mean? Y'all stay right there. Right here. Where Bible go? Right here. Y'all playing games. All right, here we go. Look what it says over here in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. 2 Peter chapter 2 and look at verse number 5. Y'all still eating down there? All right. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse... I got a long marriage ceremony. Look at chapter 2, verse 5. The Bible says, verse 5, chapter 2 of 2 Peter, and spare not, to my God, and spare not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of what? Of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. So the Bible says right there that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. So in other words, he was preaching, my dear friends, number one, what was about, what was right, but also what was about to take place. But in spite of all that, they continued marrying, eating, getting ready to get married, drinking, having a good old time, like nothing was going to happen. Sound familiar? Thank you, guys. Thank you. That's what's happening. The Bible says in Matthew, the same thing will take place when the Son of Man comes. Folks will be going about their daily activities as if nothing is going to take place. But the world is going to come to an end. Now watch this. The Bible shows us this. Back over here, he says that he was a, watch this, he gets a reward. Back in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 7. The Bible says, by which he condemned the world, that means sentence or judge against the world, and come by himself, and became heir, possessor of the righteousness which is by faith. He became an heir of righteousness because of what he had done? Nope. Go to Philippians chapter number 3 in verse 9. Philippians 3 and look at verse number 9. Our righteousness, we already covered this, remember. Our righteousness is as what? As filthy rags. How many of y'all went and looked that word up? That wasn't it. See, I couldn't say that in church. At least I didn't feel comfortable saying that in church. But look what it says over here in Philippians chapter 3, verse number 9. The Bible says this, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is what? Through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So in other words, my dear friends, it's not our righteousness, but it's the righteousness of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, that's been placed upon us. Not what we've done, but what Christ has done. And our righteousness is counted as faith. In other words, when you do the things that God says do, those right things, what you're saying is you believe him. Bottom line, you're saying that you believe what he said. And that's faith. Believe, doing what God says do in spite of what you see. Let me say this, I'm done. I wonder how many of us have been given or challenged by God to do something that's really mind-blowing. I'm talking about, it will shock people. Do that? Like what you're doing, for example. You decide you're going, the Lord wants you to go into the prison ministry. And folks are like, what is wrong with you? You have 3 kids. One's on the way. What's up? And you're like, but God said, well, yeah, man, but listen, common sense says. I've never been there, done that. We've been down that road already. I was like, I was crazy, you know. When I came up here in 1995, I mean, folks, I lost my mind. You know, I was working at Rockwell. We had nice jobs, nice salaries, and all kind of stuff. I mean, we weren't rich, you know, but at the same time, we was all right. We were doing okay. Y'all had good Christmases, didn't y'all? Yeah, okay. Yeah, you remember that this Christmas. But anyhow, so, matter of fact, when I bought you yesterday, I want to have that back. Amen. But nonetheless, though, I mean, when we quit those jobs and we came up here and started this, the ministry that God called us to be a part of, my dear friends, and I mean, hey, my flesh says, hey, I'll get me up. Listen, you guys don't know. I worked 3, 4, 5, I worked 16 jobs. I had to work 16 jobs. But I can't do it unless God give me liberty to do it. Because I know that I'll be out of the will of God. I know I'll be out of the will of God. I know what he told me. He told me to resign my job and work for him full time. And when I began to work for him full time, at first I was like, Lord, what's up? I thought your pay was great. Amen. But his pay is great. He takes care of me. And ain't nobody in my family starving. Look at them all. They ain't starving. You know, I ain't starving either. Amen. God has taken care of us. But my dear friends, when you start doing something that don't make sense to people, you're going to be ridiculed. You're going to be praying. About folks right now, y'all say, well, we went to church and we gave prayer requests. Prayer requests? Y'all better start praying, start doing something. That was your best start doing. Get your feet, start. Listen, you don't start moving until God says move. You know? Y'all, when y'all gave y'all van away, I'm sure everybody y'all know, like, oh, that's awesome. Y'all are just wonderful. Man, y'all are the most saints people we know. No, they weren't saying they were the most sane people. They were like, them some insane people. They gave They gave. What year is that? 2000 what? A 2005 van they gave that looks like it's newer than that, but they gave. Was that their son? I don't know. I mean, that's what that is. I mean, Daddy. In that case, I'm your son too. No. But wait a minute. That don't make sense. That does not make sense. You know? Y'all heard me mention about Brandon, and I'm not trying to embarrass him, but Brandon, his wife, they sent a money order for $250 to give to the Moody Chappelle family for the fire. Well, listen, he only gets what they get through preaching, my dear friends. And trust me, there's some places he goes, and he probably had to get him something, you know. But I mean, my point though is they gave it. What's wrong with you? You can't afford to give that much money to somebody. That don't make sense. Listen, my friends, when you are following God, a lot of times it don't make sense to the world, but it makes a whole lot of sense to the world, amen? Amen. When you pray, the Bible says in Matthew 21, verse 22, whatsoever we shall ask in prayer, believing, we shall receive. Whatsoever we shall ask in prayer, believing. It didn't say worked up belief. Because sometimes, you know, we had that Dorothy thing, you know. We gonna click our heels, you know. No, I know. I'm going to Kansas or wherever she. Boy, what is it? Yeah, the first time she ain't going nowhere, did she? But it's not about that. What it's about, my dear friends, is what did God say? What did He say? You know, I mean, same thing with healing and deliverance. I mean, sometimes God will bring healing in somebody's life, like we would ask, but in some person's life, He may not. Not in that sense. He might bring healing to the soul. That person might be lost without Jesus. But then they wind up getting born again. And guess what? That means that they'll live forever and ever on the right side of heaven. And not on the wrong side. Amen. What's the wrong side of heaven? It's hell, my dear friends. What has God asked you to do that is unbelievable? For example, we're done. But for example, in our day and age, if somebody's a virgin, it's almost like, what's wrong with them? Are they? Right. Especially if he's a guy. You know, we focus on the girls. Be a virgin. But the guy's like, you know, he's a guy. Hey, that goes for both sexes. Right. But I'm going to tell you what, as a young person, You try to stay pure, you know, until you get married. Your friends are going to talk about you. They're going to make fun of you, and they're going to try to pressure you and all this kind of stuff. These little boys say, well, if you love me, if you like me, you know, I thought you said, you know, we're going to get you, blah, 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 blah. And if it's a guy, are you gay? Yeah. Then they're going to tell the other guys. They say, I tried, but he said he didn't want nothing. And they go, man. You ain't like this, are you? But no, man. But man, you better handle your business. All that kind of pressure. And all of a sudden, because in the world's eyes, that doesn't make sense. From my understanding, I'm correct if I'm wrong, but isn't Tebow supposed to be a virgin? Tim Tebow supposed to be a virgin. We're talking about football player. Football star. We're talking about even the Heisman. Heisman Trophy winner. Now, you know, them girls were just throwing themselves at him. And I guarantee you, he has been called every kind of name you can think of. Because that don't make sense to the world. It don't make sense. But my friends, the word of God don't lie. A lot of us, and I say us, I'm talking about myself too. A lot of us have emotional scars because we did things outside of how God said we should do it. You know, that's why a lot of us we get so jealous sometimes. Who? That's your ex. And the guy sees a girl, ex, it's like you want to whoop somebody. You didn't even know the guy. But it's that ego thing. And then in his mind, he's thinking she probably still want him. I'm just being real here, guys. No, she probably still want him. You know, I don't want him around. I don't want all this kind of stuff. But you know what? And even though, listen, let me put a comma right here. And even though we may have messed up, we may have done things the wrong way, what is so awesome is that we do have a God that forgives. We have a God that cleanses. We have a God that washes. We have a God that purifies. We have a God, my dear friends, that helps us to start over again, my dear friends. And that is so awesome and wonderful. But now let me add this. Don't do something thinking, because we know how we are. We like lawyers, loopholes. Well, what I'll do is I'll go ahead and I'll do that, you know what I'm saying? Then I'll come on back to God. I'll be like, God, you know what? Hey, I'm sorry, homie. I'm, give me another chance. Forgive me. Yeah, if you're sincere, he will. But what scar, what wound are you going to take with you? I'm done. I never forget a good friend of ours, and she told me, she said, I know what God wants me to do. I know he says, but she's going to do it anyway. I'm like, and she said, I know he's going to chastise me. You remember that? She said, I know he's going to chastise me. I know. I'm like, well, why are you going to do it? She knew all this. But when the chastisement came, it was not what she was expecting. She was miserable. And I remember her just weeping and crying and said, oh, I didn't know it was going to be. You know, and I said, you know, because when she lost, they said, what happened? Was something? You know what she lost? Her joy and her peace. Now, somebody might say, well, what's so big about that? If you ever had joy and peace with God, and then you lose that, and they'd be like, you'd be hunting for it. I'd be like, God, please, oh, please, oh, please, give me that joy back, give me that peace back. But see, in this particular case, he was chasing her to let her see it wasn't as simple as you think. Because God goes by motive. God knows our intentions. He knows why we do what we do. You know, it ain't like us. He knows what's happening on the inside of our heart, you know. Because sometimes we, you know, and I'm not throwing off on nobody, but sometimes we'd be like the Catholics used to do a long time ago in the 1600s and stuff. You know, they would actually pay penance before they sinned. You know your history. You know, it's like, they, you know, like if they're going to do a sin, it's like, okay, we go ahead and give and have them in the Hail Marys or whatever we got to do. Do all that stuff. Take care of what we got to do because we know what we're going to do down here. Now, for some of us, that's ridiculous. But we do the same thing. So I know, you know, I'm going to go ahead and do this week, and then I know it ain't right, but you know when I come back to God, you know, he'll forgive you. But listen, a good parent corrects his children. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like getting whippings. I don't like getting whippings. I mean, if I could lie, I'd get out, but you can't lie to God. You can't say, God do it. He'd be like, come on now, you know I see everything. So now you're lying to me. Whoa! What are you saying? I'm talking about that unheard of faith. Sometimes God will call you to do things that are unheard of. They don't make sense. But we need to believe him and watch the results. They're going to be out of this world. Awesome. God rewards us. Father, thank you for your blessings. That's it, Lord. I just pray, God, you take your word and help us, Lord, to do whatever you have us to do. And sometimes, God, it don't make sense to the world. It may not make sense to us. But yet you said do it. And I pray, God, we do that. Just do it. Just do it. Embrace it. Follow it. And then reap the rewards that come from simply trusting you and believing your word. Father, whoever you've been speaking to here tonight, for whatever reason, about whatever it was, I don't know what it was, but you know, I pray and ask God that you give them victory tonight. And I pray, God, they come tonight and talk to you about some direction in life. I mean, they need you to show them certain things they need to do. But not only show them, but maybe they want to ask you to give them the strength. Yes, sir. Yeah, thank you, Father. Give them the strength to do what they know you'd have them to do. Maybe they come and ask for strength tonight. I pray, God, they do that. Whatever the needs are, I beg you, Father, in the name of your son, Jesus, help us to come, Father, and do exactly what you said to do. And for that, God, we'll thank you. We love you, Lord. It's in your son's name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. Let's turn the page off 200. And the white hymnal, and the song says it all, folks. Without him, we can do nothing, amen. And that's even doing the things that God wants us to do. We've got to have his strength. We've got to have his power. We've got to have his might. A lot of folks at the altar are also full. But if you need to come and talk to him tonight, let's come talk to him. Without him, we can do nothing, amen. Let's sing that. Let's sing from our hearts. Page 200 in the white hymnal.
Without him, I could.